Join longtime local and social butterfly Michelle Dragony as she flits up and down the coastside on her intrepid cruiser Flame, chatting with coastal characters at every turn.
Here we are again with the Coastal Butterfly, and I have Dustin Klein and Eric Hollister here, and they want to grow commercial cannabis. And I wanted them to come in here and tell me, how are they going to go about it? So tell us your story.
Well, I am a long-time, full-time resident of Half Moon Bay. I was born and raised, moved from Tinnitus Creek down to Half Moon Bay when I was 7 years old, and went to preschool, kindergarten, elementary, middle school, and high school, all on the coastside. I took off for college. I came back, was lucky enough in this economy to be able to live back in Half Moon Bay. And so far, I have just gotten into this endeavor very recently in the last 8 months because my business partner, Eric Hollister, called me up one day and introduced the idea to me. I didn't really know any of this was going on. And I decided to help him out first just as a friend because I have some background in the industry. My family has some background in the industry, and I figured why not help him out? Why not give him some tips, see what happens? And it kind of blossomed into a business partnership, which we are now co-owners and co-founders of a nursery that will hopefully happen on the coast side. And I've been interested in cannabis for a while, specifically for my part of it, I'm really into the medicinal aspects. Recreational is fine. There's nothing wrong with recreational. I have been a recreational user in the past, and I think the future of it is medicinal. And so that's what I like to focus on. I've been a caregiver for 12 years, and I have seen, I've seen cannabis change people's lives. I've seen people, I know a young woman whose life was saved because of cannabis, basically. And so that really changed my perspective. I guess it didn't change my perspective, but it gave me something to use when I was talking to people, personal experience. And I would like to see that work for other people. I know for people who are severely disabled that take cannabis products to help them, mainly for seizures, grand mal seizures, which are very strong seizures, and they have been able to come off of medications that have serious side effects and now are taking cannabis instead of those, and those side effects are no longer there and they are healthier because they are taking these cannabis products.
Those are very compelling reasons. I know I interviewed Joseph Kerr of Emerald Fog, and he is a true believer in spreading the word too. And so Eric, how'd you get into it first?
I got into it because a close family friend, Jen Segal, is at Wildflower Farms, I believe is the name of her company.
Yeah, she's growing saffron, right?
Fantastic grower and a fantastic landscaper. We were talking when she was redoing my family's landscape. She was talking about how Half Moon Bay was considering cannabis ordinance, and I kind of looked at her and said, well, one of the biggest concerns that I had in Half Moon Bay was the light pollution coming from several grow houses. And I had noted that if they were considering putting cannabis in there, that they would have to black out those greenhouses because of state laws or what have you. And then it clicked in my mind that I had been doing starts and cuttings for a while, mostly on various cannabis websites. And I just enjoyed it just because of the process, and thought about it for a couple of days and thought, why not get involved with it in Half Moon Bay? And then started reading more about it and hearing what was required, that it had to be in Half Moon Bay city limits, and who would we get involved with. And then of the three properties that were made aware of to me by Harvey Barback, I run into him, and it was sort of a no-brainer to kind of say, hey, I can help Half Moon Bay, I can help one of the farmers, I can continue to do what I do, which is I love seeing the little white roots pop out of these little plants. I have zero interest in growing it to fruition just because of all the hassle with bugs and mildew and mold, and then there's security and then theft.
Smell.
and nonsense, and it's got nothing to do with legal or police or anything else to that effect. It's just turned into such a hassle, and which is another reason why I got into it, because it's the whole system really needs to be regulated. It's gotten to the point where cannabis, whether it's medicinal or recreational, that's being sold at the dispensaries is not tested. A lot of places say it's tested, and I don't necessarily believe that the labs even that they're testing is 100% accurate. So I think the whole industry needs to be just better taken care of. And there are a lot of people in the industry, whether they've been doing it for 20, 30, 40 years, or even just recently, that actually care about the plant, care about the industry, and care about the direction it's going and want to do it right. And there is going to be a giant population, just like alcohol, that Mm-hmm. It's going to stay on the black market. It's going to be moonshine. It's going to be whatever. But if we can reduce the cost and get it safer, it's a better situation. So for me, getting into it, it seemed like a sort of a no-brainer to kind of help the city out, make a buck. Unfortunately, not as much as we would if we were full-time growers. But it was more homely. It was more boutique. It was more enjoyable. And that's what Half Moon Bay has always been to me. We've been here since early 90s, and my mom's a real estate agent here in town, and she's introduced me to the wonderful people of Half Moon Bay, including Dustin and his family. So for me, I kind of walked up to Dustin's door, literally, and just knocked on it and said, hey, I don't know if you remember me from a few years ago. I know, basically, in the back of my mind, I know you're a good person. I think you know a little bit about the industry. I remember you being a caregiver, and do you want to do something about it? And I think just light bulbs kind of both went off in our head.
And we decided it was going to work out for both of us, I think. Yeah. And more than that, since then, I think we realize it's not just going to work out for us, because, and this might sound ridiculous to some people, but it is our one of our personal philosophies for both of us is that we want to help other people. So we believe in helping other people before ourselves. But as Eric says a lot, is, you know, if you're on an airplane, and they always tell you that, you know, if the masks fall from the ceiling, you got to put it on yourself before you put it on your loved ones, or you won't be able to help out your loved ones. Mm-hmm. So that's also part of the philosophy. But we also know that cannabis coming into this town, having our family backgrounds and my background being here, you know, I've been here forever. It's agricultural, and this is an agricultural town. I grew up here. I love that this is an agricultural town.
And this is an opportunity for that oxygen to come back to the farmers.
Yeah, we will be able to give back to the local farmers and to the community. That's what we want out of this. It's not
Farmer,
just for us.
Farmer John's wife, Ida, her father is single-handedly responsible for bringing the cut flower industry into Half Moon Bay. Every single greenhouse that was brought into Half Moon Bay was not brought in because of Brussels sprouts or aglarine or artichokes or even pumpkins. Mm-hmm. It had to do with the cut flower industry. And when it left in the mid to late 80s, whole economy in Half Moon Bay took a hit, which at that point it was kind of nice because there was a lot of money here and it was kind of quiet. But at the same time, that gap got filled in really quickly with real estate speculation and tech money, which is fine. It's like Dustin says, you can't fault somebody for wanting to live in the same beautiful place that you live in. But at the same time, if it starts to change the culture, the feel, and and even to a certain extent the structure, it becomes a different place.
Well, being that you guys are both so hyper local, I think you sort of understand that, you know, this is an ag town, and cuts and starts are a lot more in keeping with the cut flower industry and agriculture. And when you start really analyzing, you know, growing all the way to full flower, you're talking about more of an industrial type of situation as opposed to
wholesale.
Really agriculture. Right. Maybe become a whole different zoning thing.
We don't have the smell, and we don't have the security, and we don't have the issues associated with.
And nobody's going to want to steal a little.
There's no point to steal.
Genetics will be fantastic, and they'll basically become the standard in the industry, anyways. Yeah, and it'll be a lot cheaper and a lot less risky just to buy them.
And we're also, both of us are environmentally conscious people. I was raised by hippies out here. You know, I didn't have a choice in the matter. No, I love being environmentally conscious.
And luckily, the state is as well.
Yes, and in the state, the regulations that the state has come out with are very environmentally friendly. Mm-hmm. And like Eric was saying earlier, the regulations are very important. We totally agree with regulations. I mean, go ahead and regulate it all you want, because it needs to be regulated for many, many different reasons. And the good thing about doing the cuttings, the clippings, the clonings, instead of bringing everything to fruition, is that we will be using significantly less light, less water overall. Mm-hmm. It's more environmentally friendly. I don't think there's anything wrong. I mean, the full plant, it's all agricultural. And there's nothing wrong with a budding plant or a fruiting plant. It's
and
still
it all
a plant.
Needs to be part of the entire value chain. Yeah. Needs to be involved. We just don't necessarily think at this point, especially with the political environment existing in Half Moon Bay, we just don't think it's necessary to have the processing, the dispensaries, or right now, at least the foreseeable future, because we just need to kind of get the machine going and, you know, start
baby
from
step.
The beginning.
Yeah,
exactly.
Baby step, exactly.
And, and we've always sort of felt the same way. I think most of the players and the gamer feel the same way. I shouldn't even say players in the game, because there's
not that many.
Only two of us. There's the gentleman that's been interviewed online, Mr. Legod, and us. And then there's the third property, and I don't believe they're even involved in it.
Yeah,
I think they're pretty much out of it.
There might be a couple other people that we don't know about, but
there's only three properties. We're secured with Farmer John and Ida. So,
and the counties. I mean, people also have to think, like, there's Half Moon Bay city limits, and what we're talking about, it all takes place within the city limits.
Right.
And then you have the county, which is I mean, anything 10 feet, 1 foot outside the city limit is county. Mm-hmm. And so you are going to have...
And those taxes are dispersed out throughout the county. Yeah. So whatever is in close to their homes in Miramar, El Granada, this kind of stuff, is associated with county taxes. The money that we generate, whether it's taxes or trickle-down money, whatever, has to stay in Half-Moon Bay. We don't have it. We're not sharing it with El Granada County. Unfortunate for them, but we're forced to be local. Right. And we're forced to be environmental because it's...
And we want to be. We want to be local. We want to be environmental
it's
and
part
local.
Of the game. It's exciting.
92 is going to have... There's going to be places on 92. They've got the greenhouses there. Mm-hmm. That's in the county.
Not that the Pastorinos are going to let it happen. And that's fine.
There's places that just that people don't know about that are just outside the county that are being bought right now by cannabis mm-hmm. growers. So it's going to be around no matter what. It's just how can it be done the most efficiently? How can it be done
the most professionally?
How can we all work together to get it done? I know it's one of the big issues. We were just talking about taxes. One of the big issues some people have is that it's not going to be taxed right away. It's just the way it works. Mm-hmm. But in June or November of next year,
there will be a
ballot issue.
Put it on the ballot as a 3-4%.
Like Pacifica,
Pacifica is almost like a situation where you don't want to involve in the conversation. they're doing their thing and they're great, but their dynamics there are
completely different.
Yeah.
Right.
We don't see us dealing to dispensaries in the next year or two, but the way it has to be set up, and Dustin and I have always said this since the beginning, whether we're talking to vendors or we're talking to even friends and family, that mm-hmm. if every single person, including you, Michelle, doesn't come away from dealing with us feeling like they got the better end of the deal, then it's not gonna work for us. And we're gonna get a ton of pushback, as we already are, because we're associated with the word cannabis. And the citizens of Half-Moon Bay are gonna feel like they're getting ripped off. And that's not why Dustin and I are doing this. We're not doing this. We're doing this because we can be involved in the movement.
I think so.
You know, and it's difficult because in the flower market, the mature plants, there is a lot of money. And for us, we think there's a lot of competition that we don't really wanna get involved in.
Right. Keep it simple. May I ask, who do you sell the starts to?
So we'll have a type 4 license. So it's wholesale distribution. Mm-hmm. So it is to these flowers mm-hmm. cultivators. Mm-hmm. If we're lucky, we'll be able to get into the educational institutions like the Cal States and the rest mm-hmm. of that. And then that opens up a whole different window, mm-hmm. which is fantastic. We'd rather just deal directly with the state and everything else. Yeah. But at some point in our phases, we have 3 phases. In the second phase, we plan on coming out with retail space. So mom and pops go get their jalapenos, their tomatoes, their cilantro, wherever else. And then they can also get a little starter.
And we want to be the trustworthy people. It's a niche market. Mm-hmm. Like the clipping is definitely a niche market, but everybody needs to start with these babies. That's what they
do. Start with the starters.
Yeah, exactly. Start with the starts. And if you want to get the best starts, we want to have the best starts.
And seeds are always an option.
Seeds are always an option.
A consistent, clean, very clean way to get pure genetics. And we will be using cell tissue technology. So the way that our genetics end up being is the original genetics and very clean.
Which is a crazy technology that we weren't familiar with until about half a year ago, really. We started getting interested into it. We've traveled up to Seattle and we saw an operation. The genetics that they're doing right now, things that they're doing with genetics are amazing. And it's important to start out with very, very clean genetics, plants that are very, very clean, almost a sterile environment, which is good that it's in a greenhouse. You can't do that outside of a greenhouse,
right?
Which is nice. The city is, you know, you can only have it in greenhouses right now. That totally works for us.
Right. I went to Brews and Views last Tuesday, and there was a grower there named Marty Lagarde, and he was talking about one of the reasons that it would be good to bring commercial cannabis in is that there could be a lot of technology. Mm-hmm. Would you guys agree with that?
I think for us, the exciting part, the technology, I mean, I was born in, partially raised in a little town on the other side of the hills, I like to call it Shallow Alto. Put a lot of technology in a lot of places all over the world, and I'm not too fantastic about technology. I'm a big fan of using your hands, and the wonderful thing about our situation that just happens to be, that just fell in our lap, is that we have a workforce that exists on the property already that's not getting paid well. Mm-hmm. We can pay them slightly higher. Not slightly higher, we'll be paying them significantly higher. They get the health insurance, and then part of our phase two that unfortunately only certain people like Councilman Penrose really knows about is that we have the ability to put in not quite tiny homes, but a little bit larger than tiny homes and house the workforce labor. So if they're in a jam-packed place like Moon Ridge or even on some places on 92 that I wouldn't even speak of, then they actually have the ability to either put themselves, their family, their kids, whatever, or even some of our top growers or cultivators, because we can't have traffic. We can't have people coming from over the hill to work at our place. It's bad enough that people from this side of the hill go to the other side of the hill to work construction or various waiting jobs, dishwashing jobs, whatever. I happen to be a classically trained chef, and I've worked in, with people on the other side of the hill that that lived in Half Moon Bay. So our branding and marketing guy just happens to live in Half Moon Bay, and he's a fantastic, very well-known branding and marketing guy. He's kind of said, well, yeah, I'm going to get involved in this. This makes sense. Why not? If I'm not mistaken, he's not into the smoking or anything, but he just realized the value of being involved with the company. So
he seems like it's fun for him. And the technology, it's a good point, Eric, that you add, that for the clipping specifically, we are going to be using a local workforce. We're not going anywhere else. And I don't think anybody has to. And it's one of the complaints that we've heard a lot is that people are going to be coming in, you know, it's going to be more trapped. People are going to be coming from over the hill to work at these places. And the point that I try to drive in is like, we have the workforce. We have a Hispanic workforce here. And we have always been an agricultural town. We don't need to go anywhere else to get a workforce. They live here. They're my neighbors. You know, I grew up with these people, and they don't need to go anywhere else. And if they were getting pushed out like so many people are because of the economy here, because it costs so much to live here, we will be in the position to pay them more. And we actually, when we talk to our consultants, they asked us just recently, they said, well, how much are you going to be paying these people? And they gave them a number. And we're thinking about it, it's like, well, that's like, wow, that's more than I've gotten paid to do almost anything, really. And you're still going to be working in agriculture. You're still going to be working where you've probably been working for years already. And your family's going to be able to stay here. You're going to be able to afford it. You're going to be able to take that money and put it back into our community.
And we have to depend on their hands and not a machine's hands to do it right. Their children will have health insurance just like they do. They're going to have a little bit more help so that they can grow. It would be great if they're one of our top cultivators, but they can go to good schools, they can go to good colleges, they can be educated, and they stay away from being the working poor where they just, you know, mom and dad have three jobs and they're not there when the kids come home, and it just becomes
a nasty cycle,
right? Yeah. And that's what divides a city. It doesn't matter if it's Half Moon Bay or not, but that's what divides cities. And Half Moon Bay has been a city of, for the most part, middle class. There hasn't been too much poor. Now there's
working class
here, but now it's starting to turn into not so blue collar, and
it's a lot harder for those blue collar people to live here.
Period.
I mean, that's what I am, and
I work here.
I work a lot to be able to afford to live here,
and right? a lot of restaurants are going out of business.
The restaurants, they always come and go here. They can't
support the labor, and it's been since the late '80s, early '90s.
Well, state parks can't find labor either.
And it's like people can't afford to live here.
I mentioned to Terry Kaiser that, you know, you could put office modular trailers and, you know, could house some of your workers right there. He's at least got some land. You guys at least got some land.
Plenty of land. Organizations like Post and Sierra Club and places like that, I don't know specifically about Sierra Club, one of their biggest pluses is, hey, if you want to put tiny homes on land for workforce labor, we're all about it. It's almost a no-brainer. It's almost a check mark for them. So
it's also environmentally friendly.
We're not near creeks, rivers, and riparian buffers. It's just, like I said, it's tiny homes.
And if you live in a smaller place, you're using less. Traditionally, that's what you do. The smaller place you live in, you use less. If you use less, you're being more environmental.
This isn't a pipe dream. It's completely within reach. Yeah. I don't know what's going to happen in the future as far as the flower market and the processing. I think testing has to be involved in every aspect. People are going to want to test their product. They're going to want to test the plants that they're growing. They want to know that not only the genetics are good, that the guy's not lying to them, but that, hey, there's been no pesticides.
Right.
There's been no Eagle 20, no Avid, none of the nasty stuff that traditionally they've been using for the last 20, 30 years.
And that's a big difference between the regulation, being regulated and not being regulated, is that if you're not regulated, you know, it's been an underground economy forever here. You can go buy your weed in a baggie or whatever, and you don't know where it came from.
Unless
and they might
you know
tell
the
you
grower,
something. Or unless you know the grower.
Like
moonshine. Yeah.
It's like,
even if you know
guy
the grower.
That made the moonshine blind? Great. No, okay, I'll buy your alcohol. Yeah. That seems really great.
Yeah, if you know the grower, it doesn't mean they're going to tell you what they put on their plants if you don't ask. But in this way, you don't. If it's regulated, you're getting tested. We know people that this has happened to recently that are on the medicinal side, and you have spot inspections. Come in. Oh, we're here to check your stuff. And that's how it works when you're in agriculture.
With guns.
Like,
with
these people are going to be, they're going to be ingesting or smoking some way what you are producing. If it's going in your body, it needs to be highly regulated.
And if you're doing it the right way, you want those people coming in. You want those people regulating because you don't want people cheating the system and ruining your name and all the hard work and effort you put into doing it the right way.
You want to be able to open your door when they knock on and say, oh, please. Please come in, take whatever you want, look at whatever you want, let us give you a tour, take samples, do whatever you need to do, take it to your lab and come back with us. And you know what? If you find something, we want to know about it because it means that there's something wrong.
Right.
Food and ag's involved, for workforce labor's involved, all the right things are happening. We don't have to deal with ICE. We don't have to deal with all the nonsense that gets involved with being a part of an ag community if you just do it the right way, follow the rules.
Well, I think there's a lot of potential right now. I know I was sitting next to Aaron Torme at, I think it was the county meeting, and somebody was talking about how expensive it must be to track all the plants through the process. Right. And Aaron just shook her head and said, we do that with lettuce already all the time.
Yeah, look at the stickers on the side of all your food.
I think for you know, us laymen that aren't actually involved with ag, you know, we need to be
even
educated.
Even people involved.
No, but, I mean, I think this is a period of education.
There's a lot of education.
For everybody. Yeah. I mean, you guys are learning every day.
Well, I think traditional growers aren't used to putting that little cute little plastic tab inside each little 4-inch plant that says this is how to grow it, this is what it is, and oh, by the way, there's a barcode in the back of it. That's just flower. Mm-hmm. A lot of growers need to kind of click and go, this is, oh, by the way, how we've been doing it in nurseries forever, you, and there's no reason we can't do it. Yeah, it's track and trace, and then that's a bad word for growers, and it's like, no. It's the same thing that everybody else has been doing. Just do it, and it makes sense. At the end of the day, it makes sense. You know where for that. One starter went to how it got processed at the end. And if it's regulated the entire process, then you know that it's a pure product or it's a clean product, or you know what happened to it.
It's a
no-brainer.
It's having a paper. Sides. It's basically having a paper trail. Exactly. You have to have a paper trail, and I think a great way to look at it is if you think about eggs. Lots of people like eggs. You can get salmonella from eggs. You don't get salmonella from the egg. You get salmonella from the environment that somehow gets into the egg. And so if someone had salmonella from an egg, if that egg went through a processing center and distributing center that takes eggs from 200 different farms, and once you trace back to that distribution center, it has been traditionally almost impossible to find out where that egg came from because there are hundreds of thousands of eggs there from 200 different farms. So how can you find out what farm had the salmonella? Mm-hmm. And then everything gets shut down. But when you have something like track and trace involved, and say you're using it with cannabis, then it's like, okay, we can find out exactly where this came from. It's from seed or from start all the way up to flower or to an edible or whatever it was. It will be there, and that comes back to the technology where there has always been, you know, a kind of track and trace technology going on with agricultural. I think I could be wrong about this, but I think the track and trace technology that's happening right now is going to be, as you said earlier, like with the technology involvement, I think that is going to be more important. This is one of the technological aspects of it that is going to be taking off because it's going to be so heavily regulated that we're going to have this, you know, third party track and trace going on, which is very important because if something does make you sick, you want to know where it came from.
And you want it to be efficient. So I can see so much evolution in this industry in the next year alone, let alone the next decade. But here we are in Half Moon Bay, and you guys have taken the first step.
Yeah, that's the baby steps.
Thank you so much for coming in and schooling us a little bit. And I hope to have you back sometime. Anytime you have something you want to say, come back here to Coastside Buzz.
All right.
100%. Really appreciate it, Michelle. Definitely.
You're welcome. Thanks a lot.